She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Hi guys, thank you so much for joining our Mirrors Reflections. Today I have two special guests, Bree Anna Williams, and we have Stephanie Rivera. And this week we're going to be discussing the removal of Instagram likes. I just wanted to have two young people today because it'll be very interesting to get their perspective on how they feel about this versus mine, who is more of an adult and more well-seasoned. And that's what we're going to talk about today, guys. So let's get started. Bree, Stephanie, what is your thoughts about removal of the Instagram likes?
I think it's a good thing because so many young people, their livelihood depends on how many likes they get. So it'll be good for, one, the self-confidence of people, not being able to compare themselves. So I wouldn't be able to compare my photo to Brianna's photo and say, oh, she got 5 more likes than me, so she's more liked. Because I wouldn't be able to see her likes. I would only presumably be able to see the likes coming in towards me, which would just make me feel good. But also, for smaller accounts who are posting relatable content, who are posting nice pictures that normally people would like, but they then see it only has 2 likes, so they're hesitant to like it, rather than the same picture on an account that has 500 likes, mm-hmm. so everyone just likes it automatically. Mm-hmm. It's more likely that they'll get more attention, they'll gather more engagement if likes aren't there, because people wouldn't be persuaded by the amount of likes.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that removing the likes is a positive thing. And like Steph said, I think that people are influenced by how many likes they see a particular photo had, because I know there's small accounts, like you're saying, there's small accounts that have great content. And then there's super popular, huge accounts, and it just the content is mediocre, if not just, like, normal. But the accounts with a lot more likes, it's kind of just like a never-ending cycle. Like, people see that they have a lot of likes, so they like it, and then it just keeps going and going and going. Versus the smaller accounts kind of never really get a chance because people see that they have few likes, and then therefore they don't want to like it. And then the account just stays small because very few people are willing to like it, and those accounts, I guess, have to grow what you might say, like, grow more organically. Like, I know that's a word that's thrown around a lot with Instagram. Like, they have to grow more organically, and it takes more time, and yada, 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 versus some accounts which basically grow within a few months because maybe the person's attractive, so, like, a lot of people are liking it, and then after that, the likes just kind of stay high, and the person grows.
So what do you think about, because I can see both sides. I can see the side where people are using it for their branding purposes, and this is how they are getting their livelihood. This is how they're making their money and paying their bills. But I also start to think about, what about the people who did not get their likes organically. What happened about those that have used, I don't know, different companies or different, they have put different things on their account to boost their likes.
Like buying likes and
what have you. What happens to those people?
I think those people.
What happened to their endorsements?
The endorsements is going to be interesting because if companies can't see the likes, I don't know how they're going to have to find a different measurement of how they pay their ambassadors. But I think it'll kind of just shift more to brand. So, for example, like Kylie Jenner is not going to lose any endorsements because she already has the brand of Kylie Jenner. And same for, I don't know. Beyonce. Other celebrities who already have a huge brand, like, I don't think they will be affected. But there's people...
like social media stars?
Yeah, there's social media stars specifically and, like, who don't really have... like, I feel like the people I named kind of have a brand outside of the social media.
Right.
And use social media to grow that brand.
Right.
But then there's people who literally have a social media brand and that's who they are. And I think...
but what does that mean? Let me just stop you right there. When you say social media brand, what I know what it means in definition.
Like, I mean, outside of social media, this person does not, like, it's not like they have,
any talents,
like
a sing or dance.
Yeah. Like there's people on social media, for example, who are usually the accounts I see, they're attractive young men or women. They post a lot of selfies and, I mean, they might promote some, like, for example, for some girls, they might, or guys, they might promote some makeup or clothing or a restaurant or a hotel. But when you really, like, look at their account, I'm just like, what are you, like, who are you? And, like, what do you do? And, like, why do you have so many followers? Because they're really just a person who people find attractive and essentially they get paid for it. So I guess you could call them, like, a social media model.
Right.
An Instagram model, which is, like, something, like, people throw out a lot, but I think people like that might lose out because I do think they get a lot of their business from perceived attention.
Okay.
So even if those people are buying, like, especially if those people are buying likes, or I know a lot of people buy verifications.
Right.
I think.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a possibility. I didn't know you could do that.
You can buy verification.
That's very interesting. So,
which is wild.
So my point is, if you can buy likes, you can buy people, you can buy verification. How do we really know how authentic you are?
Well, I think there's kind of a formula, and we've been through this. We've looked at other people's accounts and saw this. So let's say there's a certain amount of likes, engagement you're supposed to get on a post if you have a certain amount of followers.
By percentage.
If that engagement is not up, probability is you've bought those followers. Like, those followers aren't real. You could also look through and see if it looks like a spam account or, like, I remember I posted a photo once and some horse account followed me. And I was not a horse account. So I was like, what? And then 15 other horse accounts followed me. So I was like, okay, these are spam accounts. And I just blocked them. So I was like, they can turn into anything.
Right.
And if a lot of the likes, a lot of the followers kind of follow that same pattern, you know, horse one, horse two, horse three, horse four.
Yeah, or like 0000346 five, like counts like that.
And they have
that
one photo on their page. It's probably not a real account. So it's easy to see who the fake followers are, who the fake likes are, so on. And also, if engagement stays, like, there's not really a lot of fluctuation. Like, every photo you have exactly 200 likes, that's weird.
That's weird.
Because there's going to be weeks when some of the people who follow you aren't online.
Right.
There's going to be weeks where there should be a spike because, you know, it's a holiday and everyone's off. Like, they're not at work. They're not at school. So people have time to kill. They're on Instagram. There should be a spike, but you're still hitting that same base number of 200. It's probably not the same. And to Bree's point about social media influencers are what they're called, not social media stars. I think the classic example is Alex from Target, which I don't even know if you know who this is.
I don't.
So Alex from Target was this guy who was working at Target.
Right.
And I guess a girl thought he was attractive.
Right.
And took a photo of him and posted it on the internet. And it went
viral,
like famous, all because he was super attractive.
Exactly.
He didn't have, it's not like he did anything. I mean, maybe he swiped her groceries really good. I don't know. But he didn't do anything in order to gain this attention other than the fact that people thought he was cute. He ended up on the Ellen show. He has like a whole brand now. Like, he started just from that photo. Then he got thousands of followers on Instagram overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instantly, because people thought he was cute.
When I think of White Vans Kid, I feel like that was the start of, like, the social media influencer.
I thought Alex came before him.
Did he?
You see, we can't even keep it straight, because we don't even know where these kids are now. Like, they don't...
It's 15 seconds of fame, basically.
Do you see where this can actually be an issue for those people who...
Oh, yeah.
Who are truly talented in something and
mm-hmm.
truly have a talent but never get their due, never get acknowledged? Do you see how that can probably affect someone's questioning on who they are as a human, who they are as a person, thinking that they're not good enough? Just because you're not getting a certain amount of likes, this can make you judge. And people say, well, it shouldn't and this not should
but
be.
But it does.
But it does. Because the truth of the matter is you have people that get many likes because maybe the way they look, way they're shaped, how they, not based on, it's all about money. It's all about money at the end of the day. And
it's
It's about looks. And my thing is, social media, I really feel, has heightened mental illness, especially among young people. And especially when you think about the suicide rate of where it is today, it has spiked ginormously. And I think it has a lot to do with social media and this whole picture that they're painting of, you know, being perfect. And I don't think such thing exists. I think we all have insecurities. And I think these same people, that young people, are looking at their accounts and thinking they have it all together because they're taking these lavish trips and they're shopping and they have all these clothes and they're, you know, everything about them is perfect. The truth of the matter is, once these likes are removed from their profile, how are they going to react?
I think some people are going to be devastated.
But why do you think they'll be devastated?
Because likes are validation. It's kind of like maybe 30 years ago, if you went to school and you had a fire outfit on
mm-hmm.
and nearly everyone in the school told you that when you walk by them in the hallway,
mm-hmm.
that's the equivalent today of posting on Instagram a fire outfit
mm-hmm.
and having 10,000 people like it or 500 people comment. And so I feel like I don't think people have changed. Like, I think people have always liked attention, but
mm-hmm.
I think now, in a weird way,
it's broadcasted.
It's broadcasted. So people can see, it's not like just that small town wherever you live.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's on the internet. Anyone from any state, country, continent can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have more of a broad fan base, I guess you could call it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I think.
How do you feel being a baby that's born in the 90s? I was born in the 70s. How do you guys feel about social media today versus social media back then? Do you think that we would have been in a better place if things were left the way they were in the 90s? Or do you think we're in a better place now, you know, in 2019 with social media?
I personally don't even think that, like, there's a difference in people, which is what I was trying to get across. Like, I don't think that, I think social media has, like, revealed a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I think people have always been that way.
Got
like,
it.
You think about, like, especially the 90s when people were flashy with cars and clothes and jewelry.
Yeah.
Yeah, today I do think that we've shifted in the sense that not everyone is flashy that way. And,
right.
like, you see a lot of wealthy people who just wear, like, a white t-shirt and jeans.
Right.
But it's kind of shifted to, like, where social media has, like, revealed a different side of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we weren't rating, you know, likes as our worth,
mm-hmm.
then it would be followers. So once they get rid of the likes, then people are going to buy fake followers because you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
There's no longer that formula that we said to, like, look at the engagement. People
mm-hmm.
have to go one by one to look through your followers to see, is this a real account? Is this a fake account? Which is just too much work. And some people are going to put in that effort because
they
want to
know. Mm-hmm.
But most people, I could buy 1 million followers right now and you would be none the wiser
mm-hmm.
because you would just go to my account and you would see the amount of followers. So then it would just shift. Like, there's always a reason, a way for them to shift. So if we go back to, like, MySpace,
mm-hmm.
which is before, obviously, Instagram, before Facebook, so on, there were different ways of judging. I mean, of course, there were still engagement tactics like
Facebook
likes.
Facebook friends.
But yeah, you would see how many MySpace friends does this have. I remember, I so remember when I first got Facebook, I was in the seventh grade, and I would accept anyone who added me as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a thing. It was like, oh, well, I have 500 Facebook friends. How many do you have? Like, oh, 30?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And MySpace was the same. It was like, oh, I'm in the top 5 friends of 10 different people. So I'm super liked.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're not in anybody's top friends. So
it all boils down to, I feel like, popularity and who's the most popular.
Validation.
And it just comes down to validation. And, like, you bringing up high school or middle school is basically what, at the center of all this, what this is. It's people wanting validation and being told that, like, it's not only is it okay for you to be you, but, like, you're accepted by all of these other people.
But don't you think it's important that validation really starts with you, with your reflection? Don't you think that's the most important thing, and that's what really needs to be conveyed to the youth? And not only to the youth, because when I speak to the youth, I'm not only speaking to the youth, I'm speaking to people in my age group and older. Because I know that there's someone that said to me one time, I'm on Facebook and, you know, looking at you and everyone else, and you guys have this great life and you're traveling here and you're traveling there. I said, well, do you see some of my stories where I'm having my sad moments or I'm having a breakdown because I feel like, you know, I'm having issues with my kids, or I'm having issues with work, or I'm having issues with my girlfriends. Do you see those breakdowns? I find it hard that we only look for the accounts that are doing amazing things, you know, what we think is amazing things. But are we looking at accounts who people who are really changing lives, who are really inspiring people? And do we see, you know, their down moments? What I really like about certain accounts, like say to Cardi B, what I like about her account is that she shows the different sides of her, right? She's not just promoting, okay, my music and me being a mother, but when she's having her breakdowns, the way she's getting, you know what, I'm getting really stressed out. I'm getting bent out of shape because you people tend to always have an opinion about my life, right? I like accounts like that because you get to see the person. But what about the accounts where you always see perfection when you know in life none of us are perfect and we all have ups and downs?
Well, I think it's a sort of escapism. Like, some people like watching movies to escape. Some people like reading. Some people like going to sports games. But I think now with social media, it's a sense of escapism, because I think in theory, everyone does know deep down that their own personal self-validation is what's more important. Everyone knows deep down that when you're looking at account and an Instagram account, and one moment they're on a jet, the next moment they're in a Lambo, this next moment they're surrounded by a bunch of girls and guys, like, and it looks like this ideal, perfect, lavish life, back to back to back. I think people know that's not real. And even if it is, there is reality behind it and it is somewhat real, it's not, it's a highlight reel. So, like, I know, like, Kylie Jenner, Kim Kardashian, like, their accounts, like, look lavish and perfect, but I doubt they feel like their lives are perfect.
Right.
Especially, I know a guy account, and his name is Dan Bilzerian, and he was a poker player, and basically he makes a bunch of money off of that.
Right.
And every picture is, like, him surrounded by girls and money and cars, and he's always traveling, and he's always talking about sex and sleeping with different women, and, like, and in interviews, he literally says, like, that is not fulfilling towards me, and that's not happiness towards me. He's like, I do it because I know I have a problem.
Right.
And, like, I know that I do it for attention, and, like, that's something that I have to
work on
myself. And I know none of this is, like, real. There's no substance to it. And he says that, but at the same time, he still does it because he knows that's what gets likes, and he knows that's what gets attention. And I think the same thing he's saying on his side, people who are consuming that content know.
Right.
But like I said, it's a form of escapism.
Right.
And people instead of going somewhere or maybe changing something in their life to have the life they want, they could just unlock their phone and admire someone else's life from a distance and say, that's what I want, without actually having to do anything about it.
I mean, I think there's also, it's harder than it sounds to just have self-validation. You don't just wake up one day and you're like, hey, I'm awesome. It takes a lot. And if the right tools aren't around you in life,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were constantly being told in real life,
mm-hmm.
like, you're nothing, you're ugly, you don't deserve this, you don't deserve that, you'll never be anything, then that's what you're going to believe. But then you unlock your phone, and there's a way for you to connect in a different way. There's a way for me to create a Twitter account and have people tell me, I'm funny, and I'm a good writer, and I deserve to be here, and that feels good. And that's not something I'm going to want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see, I already have those doubts in my mind because of my real life. And then I see another account where, in my head, they're not putting in half the amount of work that I'm putting into my stories. Like, they're just reposting something that someone else worked hard on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting all the likes, and they're getting all of this. And that spurs further, like, problems with my self-validation. Because I'm
mm-hmm.
like, I'm still not good enough here. I'm
mm-hmm.
still not the best here. But it also helps in a weird way. So it's spurring, when comparing, it's spurring, I'll never be good enough. But on its own, so without the likes, without me being able to compare myself to that
mm-hmm.
person, it's spurring more self-validation. So I'm like, people are enjoying me. People are enjoying my engagement. So if you've ever seen someone who started out for the first time on social media, they are so excited when they get 1, 2, 3 likes. Like,
mm-hmm.
my little brother, he's 13 and he has a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first started streaming, he would say, oh my God, Steph, 10 people watched my YouTube video today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, 10, okay. But
mm-hmm.
out loud, I'm like, wow, X, that's amazing. That's
mm-hmm.
fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, he's been at it for a year and he's like, only 50 people watched my video today. Only 50 people? That's 50 more than you had last year.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
But to him, he sees, you know, he started taking it more seriously. So he started following other YouTube channels and he's like, yeah, only 50 people watched my video today. But, you know, I was watching this person's video and they started 6 months after me and 500 people watched their video today. And so he feels like what he's putting out there isn't worth it, isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's still continuing to put it out.
Well,
so.
he's not losing steam on what his purpose is. He's going to keep pushing himself, right? But the truth of the matter is, it's still, what about those kids? Or those adults or teenagers who's sitting there and saying, I haven't gotten the follower in 5 days. And they start to become really impacted by that and don't see that their time is coming and they should stick with it and they shouldn't give up. And then they start to feel like they're not good enough. And it starts to really fester in a way where they're getting depressed about this. And some people are thinking of even taking their lives because they feel like they're not liked over social media. What do you say to those young people? What do you say to those adults? What do you say to those moms or those fathers who feel like this, they need this validation? And if they don't get this validation, they can't move forward. What do you say to people like that? Because I'm sure there's many people out there like that.
Unfortunately, in my opinion, I don't really think there's, like, any right thing to say, and I don't think there's anything that could really be said to, like, make, like, there's no band-aid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no change that can be made to really, I don't think anything could be said to, like, fix that feeling. I think there needs to be a lot of, like, inner personal work.
Yes.
That takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And looking in the mirror, talking to yourself, and
mm-hmm.
figuring out why you need that validation. Because
mm-hmm.
that person who is posting, who is getting a lot of likes, who has mediocre content in your opinion,
mm-hmm.
like, they're not the issue. Like,
mm-hmm.
your perception of that and the weight you put on that and the
mm-hmm.
sense of importance that you think that has, that's something that has to do with you. And I think there's inner work that you have to be willing to kind of put yourself through. Like, for example, I used to have Snapchat
mm-hmm.
when Snapchat, not when it first came out, but like
mm-hmm.
after it came out and then it started becoming kind of like a popular thing for friends to have.
Right.
And then they introduced like friend streaks and then they introduced like stickers and basically you could like rate your friendships and connections through Snapchat.
Yeah.
And I noticed that in general, not just Snapchat, but I noticed that in general, social media had been like taking a toll on my mental health. It was giving me extreme FOMO, which is fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be somewhere maybe doing work or hanging out by myself with myself, which I think is something that people need to start doing more often, including myself, or hanging out with friends. And I would go on Snapchat, for example, and I'd be like, shoot, like, I miss, like, this party, or I miss this spontaneous movie, or I miss this spontaneous dinner or lunch. And, like, it just kind of started affecting my mental health. Like, I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I wasn't where I needed to be. Or if people were hanging out and they didn't invite me, and I'm like, why wasn't I invited? And it would just kind of send me, like, I feel like we've all been there, like, this downward spiral of you, and there's nothing that you could do, and you think the worst thing, and it makes you sad, and it either makes you be more secluded, which I felt like it did for me. But at the same time, I feel like it could also make you kind of become like a little crazy, where you're always trying to be everywhere at the same time, which I also think I started to do. And so the first thing I did was, I remember it was my first year of college. And well, this scenario was my first year of college. I kept my phone. I locked my phone in my dorm room for the day for like 2 weeks. And so, one, it forced me to actually talk to people and not just sit in a room and be on my phone. But also, it didn't allow me to have any, like, FOMO, any sort of emotion of, like, missing out, because I didn't know if I was missing out. I just, I was grounded where I was. And I was completely content and comfortable with that. And I didn't continue to do it because I was, like, missing important phone calls and stuff. But, I think it was actually really important for me to do that for that period of time and, like, see that I'm here right now and I can enjoy this moment with these people around me right now. If I'm missing something and if I wasn't invited, then so be it. And then my sophomore year, which brings me back to the Snapchat, I got rid of Snapchat completely. Like, to this day, like, I still have my account because, you know, social media, like, you kind of can't ever get rid of your account. It's just, like, sign back in. So it's never really gone. But I haven't had Snapchat on my phone in, like, years. And I feel like it boosted my mental health, like, tenfold. And even for a period of time after I got rid of Snapchat, because I did it for Lent. I'm not religious, but I just thought I would try it for the 40 days. Afterwards, I got rid of Instagram for a little bit, and I got rid of Facebook for a little bit, and I knew that I needed Facebook for, like, my school clubs and stuff, and for Facebook Messenger, which you could now actually have without having your actual page, which I think is huge. But also, I think Facebook has kind of changed, where people aren't posting, like, their lives really anymore. It's more about, like, memes and, like, videos and stuff like that. But for Instagram, I do think it was huge for me to get rid of it, but I did bring that back for business purposes. So,
I also got rid of my Snapchat a few years ago and never re-downloaded it, much for the same reasons that Bree mentioned. The craziness of who's where, doing what, what am I doing, why aren't I with them, just the FOMO, which is what, when you ask the question, you know, what would you tell people who are getting to that state, my first gut reaction was, similar to Brianna's, unplug, you know, disconnect. But at the same time, thinking about it, Bri, you were successful because you still had a life outside of that. So you left your phone in your room and you had people to go to and you had things to do. But I'm thinking about those people who got online for the purposes of not having a life outside of it.
Right.
Who needed that validation because there is no validation in their everyday life. Maybe they're in an environment that's already super toxic for them. Maybe they are alone. Maybe they live alone and they just haven't been able to connect with people in their real life. I don't know the situation, but there are plenty of people who cannot disconnect in the same ways that we disconnected, that cannot just delete their Snapchat and, you know, continue on with their lives, still have friends, so on. Some people, the only interactions they get, whether that be at all or the only positive interactions they get throughout the day are online. So that one like from them posting a picture of their dog is the only positive human interaction they have that day, and it is the only form of validation they get that day. And that's much harder to fix. Of course, sitting here, not being in that situation, I would say, you know, well, work on your real life. Like, go out, make friends, so on. But that's not always easy.
Right.
It's not easy at all. Not even for those of us who have a system set up to help us make the friends, like, such as college, such as high school, so on. It's not an easy thing. And so it's very, very hard to answer that question of what would the advice be outside of, you know, the best advice you can give to everyone, because everyone in life should be in therapy. So
I totally agree.
The best advice you can give is that.
1,000%. Absolutely.
But short of saying that, I suppose the feature of getting rid of Instagram likes publicly, because we're under the assumption that we would be able to see the likes, but nobody else would be able to see them.
Right.
So even if you got one like, that would still feel good.
Right.
I suppose publicly getting rid of things like likes, or let's say on Twitter, retweets, or I guess on Facebook, they're also called likes, would help with that mental state, because any amount of interaction you're getting feels positive and feels amazing. Of course, like I said, there's still ways to compare, like, followers. There's still ways to compare, like, comments, and so on. But in some way, it'll help. It kind of reminds me of that Black Mirror episode, your favorite, Nosedive, where, have you seen Black Mirror?
No, I have not.
So there's this episode where they all have an app on their phone in which they rate each other in real time. So we're having this conversation right now. If I leave this conversation happy, I'll give you a 5. Your rating will go up. If you've pissed me off, if you've made me sad, if you've hurt me in any way, I'll give you a 1. Your rating's now gone down.
And everyone could see that.
Wow.
And they see the interaction. So certain places are only available to people with a rating of 4 and above.
Right.
Certain things, like you can get a certain job, you can enter certain spaces. People will interact with
social
you differently
circles,
based on different things. So if you have a 1, people might avoid you like you're a homeless person, as if your worth comes from that. And it could have been anything, right? It could have been you're 12 years old and you're being bullied in school and everyone decides to downvote you, you know?
Right.
It could be anything that have caused you to get that. And that's kind of what social media has become. And I think that episode was so real for those reasons. Because in the episode, the girl basically is killing herself to get to a friend's wedding because her friend has, like, a super high rating. And everyone there has a super high rating. And she wants to get into a certain apartment complex where she will have to have a super high rating. So even when she's upset with people, she just gives them a 5. She's just like, oh, great. Looks them in the eye. Shows them her giving them a high rating. So she'll get that high rating back. That's her validation. She wants to be high. And throughout the entire episode, bad things keep happening. And she continues to go because she wants that. And that's kind of how social media has begun to play out, is that we continue to put ourselves in harm's way. You continue to look at your friend's Snapchats, feel that fear of missing out, feel your validation going down and down and down. But the alternative is, I don't have Snapchat and I don't get to see those people. And there is no way I'm going to get any likes, and there's no way I'm going to start a streak because I don't have any of that in order to do it. So
I think that, sorry, before you continue, I think that, like, to summarize what we were both saying is that your original question, I feel like it's a catch-22.
It's like, definitely a catch-22.
I feel like there's nothing, like, that's what I was saying. Like, I don't think there's anything to be said. I don't think there's anything you could say to really fix that, especially for people who are, like I said before, like, are using social media as, like, an escapism from their life. Like, I just think that you kind of have to, what's the saying I'm looking for?
Get a sense of self.
Get.
I mean, listen, I feel when I think about this, I think about inclusion, right?
The devil you know.
Okay.
That's what it is. The devil you know. And I think that's exactly what it is. And I think I personally would rather deal with the devil of reality. And when I say reality, meaning like us interacting in person. I guess some people's reality is social media.
Right.
But I would rather deal with right now in person, real time, than deal with social media. And I know some people would rather deal with the social media over real time. And I literally think it's your preference and what is best for your mental health.
Right.
That's only a question you can answer. But to answer it, you have to spend time with yourself and get to know yourself before you jump to any conclusions.
I think that's a great response from you, Steph, and you, Brie. I think inclusion, when we think about inclusion, we think about this in the world of business. We think about this when kids are in school. We think about this when kids are on the playground. inclusion is very important in 2019 and it's going to be beyond. No one wants to feel left out. And I think the barrier that, although I feel social media has been positive in certain ways, especially for branding and for business, I also think it has been a negative for some people. It has divided friendships. It has divided some people in their marriages. It has divided even some businesses because it becomes this, okay, they're doing better in this, then we have to up it one. And always trying to one-up a person. I even see it with women, you know, someone has posted a picture and now you want to one-up her and make her feel a certain way. So you post this picture. I don't see anything wrong with wanting to better yourself and be better. But I think if it's coming from a place of negativity, it's not healthy. I don't think it's healthy for either people involved. So I think we really have to think about this. What are we doing? What role are we playing to make social media a better place for all?
I think the first question is social media the issue?
Yeah,
is it?
That's what I was going to say.
Because even in your explanation just now, it sounded to me that the issue with those two friends were the friend. Why are you trying to one-up your friend?
Right.
Why do you need to be better than them?
Right.
Business, okay, I understand that. I need to be better than that business because I want the income. But also, if you're at a healthy point in your business, why aren't you helping out smaller businesses?
Right.
So I think we start there. Is social media the issue, or has social media just become a tool in which these issues have become exacerbated? So it's just one of the many tools that we have now in order to let these modems of human psyche, these modems of human freedom escape through. So we've just decided this is the way that we are going to make each other feel better. This is the way we're going to make each other feel worse. And right now our life is very much surrounded by social media.
Right.
But in the past, these same feelings existed, these same rivalries existed without social media. So what was used then?
Right.
Maybe I took out an ad in the newspaper and you took out an ad in the newspaper and mine was longer, so I was better.
Right.
And maybe in the future it'll be completely different. Maybe I am projecting myself into someone's psyche and you're projecting yourself into 10 people's psyche. And that's, you know, I don't know, because I can't predict what the technology will be in the future. But social media is what we have right now. So starting there, is social media the issue or is it the people? And if you think about it that way, then the only thing that will make social media healthier, of course, I mean, we've been debating this whole time. Will likes help? Will it not help?
Right.
Is it even worth it? Does it matter if we're getting rid of the likes? And I've been on the side of, yes, it would matter. So I guess where it starts is changing people's mindsets.
Right.
And I am under the belief that getting rid of likes would, I hope, change people's mindsets, even just a tiny bit. So you're not as much connected to those likes. And of course, it might just mean that people are driven off of Instagram and now everyone's on Twitter and now everyone's on Facebook instead. That might be the case.
Right.
But for those of us who stick with Instagram, we might end up not tying ourselves so much to those likes. So it's a small thing that would change, which would hopefully have a bigger impact on the mindsets.
Right. Brie, in closing?
You put pressure on me saying that I was closing. So I was like, now I have to like.
No, you don't have to. You can go ahead. This is our podcast, so we can make it go or make it stop whenever we want. So please continue on with your thoughts.
What was your question originally again?
My question was, what is your thoughts with social media in closing? What do you think will happen with all of this with the Instagram likes?
Oh, okay,
whether we keep it or they banned it. What are your thoughts? What are your closing thoughts about that?
In all honesty, I think that it'll be like a game changer, I guess, in the beginning initially. But I think that people will adjust to it because, like Steph says, like people are people and this is like a people issue. Social media just highlights it or reveals it, kind of like the issue with police brutality and black bodies and brown bodies. Like, social media has just revealed it, but it's not like social media created the issue.
Right. It's always been there.
It's always been there.
Right.
So people's lack of or need for validation or people wanting to pretend they have one life over the other is something that people have always done.
Right.
I just think it's a lot easier to do with social media.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the stakes are higher now with social media,
mm-hmm.
considering that social media branding is like a whole industry.
Right.
And like you being a brand ambassador on social media could literally make you high six figures, if not millions of dollars a year.
Right.
So I think the stakes are higher, which is why we're affected by it on this level.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I do think in the beginning, getting rid of likes or hiding the likes, whatever it
mm-hmm.
might be,
mm-hmm.
will initially like make a huge difference. But I think that, like we've always done, society
mm-hmm.
will just adjust
mm-hmm.
to do what we want to do.
Right. I want to say this. I think having these types of conversations with people that are in different generations from us is so important. I think this podcast was needed to have this week since it's been like the hot topic for the last few days in the papers. But I also want to leave you guys with this. It is very important to get a sense of who you are, I feel, before even going to social media. What I really loved about my previous life is that it was like a no-go in my world of finance with social media and having a Facebook and having a Twitter and having an Instagram. We just couldn't have it. And I love the fact that I didn't have it because I was more attached to people, talking to them verbally and having human interaction with them than clicking a like, than commenting on something. I felt I knew the people I was around. And now that I have started this new brand and I'm in life coaching and I have my book coming out and I'm doing these different things, I have to do this for people to get to know who I am. And I am so glad that I'm grounded in who I am as an individual and as a person because I can see how easy it is to be affected if you don't get enough comments, if you don't get a certain amount of likes, because I've found myself in a stage of questioning myself. And I'm so glad that I have a daughter that and friends like Steph and people in my life where I can say to them, I don't really like doing this. I don't like the way it makes me feel. For them to give me a reality check is like, do you really feel like this, Mom or Andrea, or are you getting caught up in the moment of wanting to have the likes, wanting to have the positive feedback versus just having my own feedback and knowing why I'm doing this?
I also want to say this is something that I've been thinking about and I haven't said it out loud yet,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to say it.
Go for it.
So I don't know how many people or if you guys, well, I know you know. I actually know you know him.
Uh-huh.
Gary Vee.
Yes, love
and
Gary Vee.
I think he's awesome, and I think what he's doing is great, and clearly a great business person, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do disagree with him on some, or I don't know if it's a disagree, but I think that he doesn't fully acknowledge, like, the mental health side of social media and the risks of social media.
Mm.
And I think that his content is geared towards like business. So I understand that he might not acknowledge that because he's talking to people who, if you want a successful business, this is what you have to do. And if you're not doing it, then like you're not doing what you should be doing.
Right.
But at the same time, like I think he kind of simplifies it and makes it seem like, well, like who cares what this person thinks, or it's easier said than done. I think that's what
yes.
we've kind of figured out.
Yes.
And I think mental health does have such a huge impact
yes.
on your life.
Yes.
And to ignore that, I think you would just be doing yourself a disservice. So I don't think social media is for everyone, and I don't think it should be for everyone, and I don't even think it has to be for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do think if you're trying to grow a business in this day and age and you utilize social media, you will probably go faster
mm-hmm.
than you would if you did not utilize it. But I don't think you have to utilize social media to grow your business.
I totally agree.
I don't think you do. I think there's a difference. Like, obviously, there's businesses that are failing because they just want to ignore it. I don't think it should be ignored. But I don't think you have to. Social media has to be your end-all, be-all if you're trying to grow a business, if you're trying to make a living for yourself. Because sometimes it's just not for you and it's not healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be more successful if you are healthy and not using it than unhealthy and using it.
I totally
And I
agree.
Think that that's something that he doesn't acknowledge. I mean, I haven't grown a super successful business, so I mean, like, what do I really know?
Mm-hmm.
But from what I observe, I know there's people who grow businesses without making social media their end-all be-all.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that they have a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe if they compare their self up to someone who is identical to them but use social media, like, it would be a different story. But who cares? Like,
yes.
If you're in a good spot mentally, I think that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just, like, relating it back to, like, myself, like, who cares if I'm missing a party that I would have seen on Snapchat if I'm happy right now the way I am without seeing anything? Like, who cares? So, like, I think, I guess this is something he does say. Thinking of the alternative or a different choice is, like, not an option. You kind of just have to go with what's best for you,
mm-hmm.
and go with it 100%. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's what social media is all about.
So, great point, Bree. And thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's very important for us to be able to say how we feel. I'm so glad that I had Steph and Bree here today to kind of chop through this because we need to have these conversations, and sometimes they are uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't want to put ourselves out there, but I feel in order for us to grow as a human race, we have to have these difficult conversations, and we have to push how important mental health is. There's a lot of people suffering in silence that's not having this conversation, and I'm hoping with these types of podcasts that I'm pushing out, I am showing you that it's okay to live your best authentic life with your imperfections. That is the only way we're going to grow. That's the only way we're going to help people come out of the situation of darkness of mental health. We have all faced it at some point in time in our life, and that you're not alone. I was so excited to have Brianna and Stephanie on my podcast today, and I'm looking forward to talking next week about another topic that's probably on and popping in the airwaves. I don't know. Thank you so much for joining our Mirrors Reflections. And please follow me on my Instagram at AndreaPJackson_. And to find me on my website is AndreaPJackson.com. Ladies, do you want to give your social media handles, how people can find you?
I don't really have any social medias that's public, so.
Okay, go ahead, Brie.
My photography account is Photos by Rebel, and my fitness account is AFFCBrie.
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining our Mirrors Reflections. Thank you for joining our Mirrors Reflections with Andrea Jackson. I am excited to announce that we're starting a new segment called Ask APJ, which you can then send me a direct message to my Instagram with any dilemmas that you're facing, any questions that you may have, and we will discuss it on my next podcast live.